the young teen boys, I said, let me tell you something. How can we in America not see how blinded we've become because men won't take heed according to the word, and America's in the shape it's in?
Yes.
You know, when a man has it right, and I'm going to say this, when a man has it right, because it didn't say whether also a young man cleanses his way. It didn't say a woman. Why not a woman? Is it because she can't get it? No, she can get it. But when a man has it right, when a man is doing it the way that God wants it, the woman will follow.
Amen.
Amen.
That's what happened in America today.
That's right.
The men are following the women. The men have become males, and that's all they are. Now, the girls kind of looked at me funny, like I was talking about my wife like she's some second-class citizen. I said, she is not. My wife is the queen of my house. Matter of fact, last night I called you the first lady. And she goes, I like that. I said, that's right, you're the first lady of the Maury house.
Amen.
And she's the first. That, you know what? But that, you know what? She wants to follow me.
Yes.
Does it mean that I'm perfect? No, but she knows that I'm in this word. She knows I want to live according to the word. I'm just going to tell you, young man, when we start getting that down pat, when we start getting that right in our lives, that your family will follow you. You ever notice that when you fall apart, your family's falling apart?
Uh-huh.
And the more you fall apart, the worse they get?
Uh-huh.
Because a man's got to take a stand. A man's got to get that thing right. A man's got to be able to stand up. You know why God made men's shoulders so broad? For our wives to lean on them.
Yeah.
Amen.
That's good.
Just telling you. Hey, I had a good time in the Lord yesterday. He brought some refreshing to my life. Thank God for His mercy. Thank God for who He is. Thank God for Him spending some time with me. I mean, I went through some dark, dark times yesterday. But I tell you what, the times when I spent with God is just second to none. I'm just sorry if you don't understand what that means. I'm sorry if you don't have that type of relationship with God. But I'm just telling you now, you can have it.
That's right.
God's not refusing a single person. It's how bad you want it. I told Amy, I have a desire to be close to God. That desire overwhelms me to the point where I got to do something about it. That's how bad I want it. I'm like a crackhead when it comes to God. I want it. That's all I want is Him. Doesn't mean I always have it right. My family, pastor sat there. I asked Luke right in front of the pastor. I said, Luke, are we perfect? He said, no, we're not perfect. But the desire is to do the things that we're supposed to be doing. Psalm 51, if you could turn with me to Psalm 51. I know you guys know these verses. Most of you might know it by heart. The Lord gave me something to share out of here, so I'm going to share it. I'm going to be obedient in this thing. And, man, I don't know whose water this is, but I'm drinking it.
You're not.
It is my, yeah, it's good stuff. Psalm 51. And we're going to start in verse 1, and I'm going to read right through to verse 17, then I'm going to go back and expound on it. Verse 1 says, have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness, according to the multitude of thy tender mercies. Blot out my transgressions. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. For I acknowledge my transgressions and my sin is ever before me. Against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. That thou mightest be justified when thou speakest, and clear when thou judgest. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and in sin did my mother conceive me. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Make me to hear the joy, the gladness, that the bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Hide thy face from my sins, and blot out all my iniquities. Create me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, and uphold me with thy free spirit. Then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. Deliver me from the blood guiltiness, O God, thou God of my salvation, and my tongue shall sing aloud of thy righteousness. O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. For thou desirest not sacrifice, or else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart. O God, thou wilt not despise. I know it's hard after the 1 o'clock service. You got to fight to stay awake. And up here, listen, I can eat, and it doesn't make me tired when I'm up here. But when I'm sitting there and somebody's preaching 1 o'clock, man, I'm ready to fall asleep.
Mm-hmm.
But if we can, let's just try it. The Lord really put that on my heart. because he had to teach me this. He showed me this yesterday. And I think it's really important. I think it'll help a lot of people out if we could try to just stay focused. Hey, if you got to take a nap, I'll stomp my foot, clap my hands, whistle something. Maybe I'll wake you up. But Psalm 51 is where we're at. I start in verse 1, and I'm going to read it and expound what the Lord has given me. Have mercy upon me, O God, according to thy loving kindness. According to the multitude of thy tender mercies, blot out my transgressions. David is asking God for mercy. Pastor talked about God is a merciful God. He wants to show people mercy. He wants to give them grace. And you know what? We don't deserve it, but it's still there for us.
Amen.
And David knows this. But he asked for mercy according to God's loving kindness.
Yeah.
He doesn't just ask for straight mercy. He's asking for God's mercy with loving kindness. Loving kindness is two words, but it's used as one in this sentence. It's two words, loving and kindness. But he's put them together into two words. David is expressing a deep meaning of what he knows about God. Let's break it down. Loving means entertaining a strong affection for, having tender regard for, expressing love or kindness as loving words. Kindness means goodwill, benevolence, the temper of disposition which delights in contributing to the happiness of others, which is exercised cheerfully in the gratifying their wishes, supplying their wants, here's the best one, and alleviating their distresses. So you take those two words and you put them together, and David uses two powerful words as one to describe an attribute of God. His loving kindness. You got to get behind those two words and see what they mean. Why is he using it that way? Because it's an attribute of God. It's something that we don't take and we take for granted. And we just, you know, we hear the word loving kindness and we just take that for absolute granted. We don't go ahead. We don't search it out. We don't look for it. And I'm just telling you now, this loving kindness that God gives us is deeper than what we understand. It's a lot deeper than we'll allow it to come. Hey, listen, David didn't just come up to God and say, have mercy upon me. He said, have mercy upon me according to love and kindness. He's going much deeper than that. He understood that he needs an affection from God. He needs something closer from God than what just people normally ask for. Hey, I can walk around all day long and say, Lord, have mercy on me. But there's times I need to say, Lord, have mercy upon me according to love and kindness. I'm in a messed up state right now.
That's right.
You see? There's differences in that. And David understood that. And he lets us know that. And it says that God has a strong affection for us. He has a tender regard for us. Who has our goodwill towards us. Who delights in contributing to our happiness and wants to alleviate our distresses. This is a want of God. This is something that God wants to do. Here's the problem. Men don't want to turn to God. Men don't want to ask God. How do I know that? Because I'm always tripping up on that foolishness. Always. It's a lesson that I have to learn when God says, Dale, you need to call on me before you start doing these things. And I tell you, what a difference it makes when you call on God instead of trying to handle the things yourself.
That's right.
Calling on God. Men don't want to call on God anymore. They call on self. Call on self, and it ruins a lot. But he wants our happiness. He wants to alleviate our distresses. What a God we serve. What a God we serve. I'm just telling you now, for the last couple months, I'm not saying it's not going to fall apart tomorrow. But I'm just telling you now, for the last couple months, I've been down, depressed. I've been doing things that just absolutely a mess. Guess who alleviated my distress yesterday? I called upon God through his loving kindness and said, Lord, I prayed this whole chapter to him.
Amen.
Because that's what I needed. I humbled myself before a mighty God and said, Lord, give me mercy according to your loving kindness. That's what I did. I humbled myself before a mighty God. Don't ask me to do it for you because I may not. I may just get too prideful and puffy. But when it came to me getting right with God, I'm just telling you now. You ask my wife and kids, I would just disappear and go in the room. That's my prayer closet in our bedroom. And I pace that floor and I just pray to God holding the Bible in my hand or whatever else. And me and him are going to get things right. And I'm not leaving until we do.
Amen.
You know why? He desires that. That's what he wants. But can we get people to go out there who wants to do it? All the time, Pastor, you know. Pastor Haynes, you know. People always saying, I want help. I want this and I want that and I want this and that. Then you go out there and try to give them the answer. Guess what they don't do? The very thing you're trying to show them to do that God tells them to do. in their life. God's there to help us. He wants to. Then David goes one step further and says, according to the multitude, which means many. He says, multitude of thy tender mercies. Do you understand that? There's many, many, not just mercies, tender mercies.
Amen.
We're seeing something just in this very first verse of a loving God. And yet this loving God who has all this to give to us, people are rejecting. They're rejecting it for the world. They're rejecting it for self. They're rejecting it for sin, their own sin nature. They don't want the loving kindness and the tender mercies, the multitude of tender mercies God has. I do. I've been on the other side. I know what abuse is. I know what it's like to be called every name in the book and butt my head busted open with cups and mugs and all the trash and garbage. I know what all that's about. And you know what? Quite frankly, I'm done with it.
Amen.
I have a Father who loves me.
Amen.
I sat there and just cried yesterday. I sat in my chair and I was all by myself and I just cried. I said, thank you, Lord, for spending time with me. Why would you even want to look down on somebody like me? But you did, and I thank you so much that he wanted to do that. I was just, you know, I had tears of joy just thanking God for what he'd done with me yesterday. That's what kind of time I had with God. You can have that too. He wants to give it to you.
That's good.
He wants to give it to you. Multitude of thy tender mercies. David is saying is God has many mercies, many tender mercies to give those who ask for it. Read. I'm going to go through 2-5. Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. You see, David asked. What did he ask for? He asked for mercy. He asked for love and kindness, the multitude of thy tender mercies. But then he comes right to God and says, you know what? I know I'm messed up. What's it say right in verse 2? Wash me thoroughly from my iniquity and cleanse me from my sin. He's telling God, I'm asking you for these things, but I know that I need to ask you to forgive me first. You know I've messed up, God. I've done some things that are in my heart that shouldn't be there. I've done some things or answered people some ways that shouldn't be. And Lord, I need your help in this thing. Here it is. It's before you. Wash me. He knows where to get clean. Hey, we don't just get clean in bathtubs and showers. We need a different cleaning. We need a spiritual cleaning. We need a soul cleaning. We need a mind cleaning. We need a heart cleaning. And I'm just telling you now as I stand here today, the only one that can do that is Jesus Christ. The only one. It says, wash me thoroughly. Number 3 says, for I acknowledge my transgressions. Hey, are you out? Can you acknowledge your transgressions today? Are you willing to be open enough to tell God, here, this is where I'm at. This is what I'm doing. This is where I'm messed up at. Me and you need to deal with this. Hey, I'm just going to tell you something right now. I stood in the mirror yesterday, and I had a talk with God and myself, and I said, this is what I am. This is what's in my heart, and me and you need to get this right. You have to show me because I cannot do it myself.
That's good.
I can do all things through Christ Jesus who strengthens me. It didn't say I can do all things through Dale Morey who strengthens me. I'm just telling you right now. In me, Dale Morey, the one that's standing up here today, I have things. Listen, I told Pastor this morning, you know what the Lord showed me? For every one thing that I have right, I have 6 other things that are wrong. I can acknowledge that. And you know what? I bring it before God. You know what he does? He knows it. But he wants me to let him know that I know it as well.
Yeah. Amen.
That's
right. Hey, David's doing it right here. You know what I did for almost 3 years after getting saved? I walked around like I had everything okay. I walked around the facade that everything was always just fine. And that I answered you just good. And I did. You know what? It was a fake. Mm-hmm. Things weren't always right for me.
Yeah.
Things weren't always happy go lucky. Yeah, God changed a lot in my life. God changed a lot in my household life. God changed a whole lot in my wife's life. But it's not perfect like I thought I was supposed to be. Remember that bubble you talked about popping?
Yeah.
I got mine popped yesterday. Thank God for the popping.
Amen.
Thank God for the popping. You know what? This is what was happening to me. Getting filled with pride, bitterness, anger. That was happening to me again. You see, for week after week, I'd stand up here and apologize. I'm sorry if I answered you wrong. I'm sorry if I... You know why? That was me getting all puffy. Psst. Thank God that God cared enough for me to go ahead and bust my bubble. What's being prideful ever done for you or anybody else? It ain't done me no good. You know, I can make an enemy real quick in here because of my pride. I don't want anybody to be my enemy. I have people who won't talk to me this day, and I'll run into them at the store, and they'll, They'll say,
well, I didn't think you'd talk to me because me and a certain family member are fighting. I'm not that certain family member. My name is Dale Morey. I'm not your enemy because somebody else is.
Amen.
That's just how I work things. Do I not work things that way, Amy? She knows. Hey, I'm sorry if you have that enemy with that person. Doesn't mean I have to have that enemy.
Right.
And I don't expect you to be an enemy with somebody that I have a problem with. Where does it say to do that? Okay. Live peaceably with all men. Just because I have a problem with somebody doesn't mean you have to. Or because you do doesn't mean I have to. Now, there are certain things we'll agree on. Yes, we'll have that. That's fine. There's certain things I'm not going to say it, but you guys know. But David here, what is he doing? He's telling the Lord, Lord, I understand. Yes, I need your mercy. I need your loving kindness. I need your multitude of tender mercies. But hold on. I need you to know that I do know finally that I'm going to tell you how much of a sinner and a transgressor I really am. I know you know that, but I need to tell you that. For against thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight. Hey, listen. I made wrongs in people in which that happened to me yesterday. And I'm going to talk about, you know how hard it was to swallow my pride? I mean, I about choked it down. But I said, Lord, you're wrong. I'm going to defeat this thing. I'm not going to continue to defeat that thing. I want the pride out of my life. If you say you don't need the pride out of your life, you're crazy.
Yeah, that's right.
And I sat there. You know what I said? I said, Lord, I'm sorry for my pride getting in the way. I made a mistake. I sinned against you because that person is yours, not mine.
Amen.
Each and every one of you are God's. You're not mine. When I offend you, I'm offending God first and foremost and doing wrong to you. I'm sinning against God, and then I'm doing some wrong towards you. But I'm just telling you right now, I don't sin against you. I sin against a holy God.
Right.
And I wrong you. And that for that, I am sorry. But I need to get it right with God first. That's why he says, before you come and pray, go get that thing right. Go get that thing right with that person. If I ever had an enemy, I wish somebody would come up to me and tell me if I've ever done something wrong to them or offended them. Because I really like to just get it right. I don't like to walk around thinking I have enemies. But, you know, that's how it goes. Not everybody will come and talk to you about it. But I'd rather not have enemies. But my point is, he's saying, against thee and thee only have I sinned and done this evil in thy sight, that thou mightest be justified when thou speakest and be clear when thou judgest. Who likes the judgment of God in here? Go ahead and raise your hand. Go ahead. You know why most people don't want to get in the word, Pastor? Because he's right when he speaks.
Amen.
Uh-oh. God is right when he speaks. So why would you want to pick up a Bible where God is speaking to you and tells you what you are or what you aren't or what you should be or what you might not be or whatever? Why would you want to pick that up and read it? Let me just say, thou mightest be justified when thou speakest. Do you know God is absolutely 100% justified when he speaks through his word to you? I told the kids in Sunday school, I said, that Holy Ghost conviction, why are you running from it? You can only run so far. Oh, that little dark closet that you're in? That little place you think that nobody's seeing you? You're never alone. Just want you to know.
Amen.
I'll sit there in my house and I'll sit there and I'll think, yeah, kids are gone, Amy's gone, it's time to relax. God has other plans for me.
Yeah, amen. Come on.
I'm wearing a back brace now and all this. I'm ready to sit down in a recliner and put the thing up. God says, no, I got something for you to do. And I think I'm alone. It really wakes me up right there and then. I think, oh. But here, while you're sitting in the church pew, God is searching your heart, so he sees what's in it right now.
Right.
You don't have to be alone for the filth to be in there. You can be sitting in the church pew for the filth to be there.
Right.
God sees it. That's why it's always against him and him only in his sight. My goodness, could you imagine in his sight, Doug? Is that what it says? In his sight? And done this evil in thy sight. That means you never can be alone. You can never run from the eyes of God. You'll never run. I don't care. Listen, you can be sitting in a crowded room and God's looking right in your heart and you're doing it in his sight.
Come on.
That's what it says. You know who understood that? David understood that.
That's right.
David gave that to us for us to understand. For us to have a little bit of knowledge like Pastor preached on. And this is the good knowledge.
That's right.
Because if more people lived You know what the Lord had to deal with me on? One of the things was, is that when I answer people or do things to people or that, things that are wrong and that I shouldn't be doing, I just wasn't really thinking about that. One day I'm going to stand before Him and He's going to judge me for the wrong that I've been doing. He really woke me up to that yesterday.
Yeah, come on.
I'm going to tell you now, if God would just wake a few more people up about what they're going to have to answer for, I guarantee people will change. I guarantee that I answer people a little differently. Guarantee they live a little different. Let me just... I got to read this right here. Ecclesiastes real quick here. I just got to read Ecclesiastes 8. I read this to my Sunday school. And now my pages want to stick together. Ecclesiastes 8. It says, verse 11. Because sentence against evil work is not executed speedily, therefore the heart of the sons of men is fully set in them to do evil. You know what that's saying? Because people get away with things because God doesn't execute judgment right away. They just think they're getting away with things. I'm just telling you right now, you're not getting away with a thing. Listen to me, people. Ecclesiastes says that there are people who are sitting in this church today who are doing things that they know they should not be doing. God has not executed judgment on them yet, so they think that they're getting away with it. And I'm telling you now, you are not getting away with it.
That's right.
You will answer for it.
That's right.
That's according to God's word. Let me go back and let me just read another one here out of Ecclesiastes. You know, this ties in with Psalms 51 because David knew who he was sinning against. And let me just read this here. And this is God's word. So if you're mad at anybody, go ahead and get mad at God. Ecclesiastes 12. Yeah, 12 verse 14. For God shall bring every work into judgment. Every work into judgment. With every secret thing. Hang on, let me go as far. Whether it be good or whether it be evil. Please, if you don't get anything out of any of this message today, realize this, you will answer for what you do in life. You will answer. You will stand before Jesus Christ and you will answer for everything you've done. Now, if we, and I say we, including me, could start living our life just a little bit more thinking about how we're going to answer Jesus Christ and what we need to answer for, I guarantee you this, things would be, we'd live a little different. We'd just think a little differently. We'd act a little differently. We'd answer people a little different. But you know what? Are we concerned about that? We're not concerned about standing before the judgment of Jesus Christ. I think we'd have an attitude change really quick if that really hit our hearts. I just pray to God, Lord, have mercy on me. Because for me, you're going to have to show me that every single day. Because I'm a human being. I'm in the flesh. I'll forget just as well as anybody else. But you know, just a little reminder, a little nudge would be perfect for me. You know where I'm going to get that from? Oh, I know. You're so sick of hearing it. But I'm just going to tell you right here.
Right.
This is where you'll get it.
That's right.
I'm just telling you, it's been life-changing to me. It's been life-changing to my family. I mean, I'm not going to tell you something that didn't work. I'm not going to tell you something that won't work. That's this. I know nothing else. If I never knew anything else in my entire life and I only knew this Bible, I'd be satisfied.
Amen.
Really, it's taken me and my family into a different direction. Just has. The other day, the Lord gave me a message. I told a preacher about this. Right at my kitchen table, I preached to my family. Proverbs 5, about the strange woman, that being a picture of the world.
Mm-hmm.
Okay? And afterwards, I mean, I preached a hard message. Amy looked at me, she's like, whew. I said, that's what the Lord put on my heart, though. That's just what He done. See, now, what if I wasn't faithful in reading my Bible to my family? That would have never came. And not bragging, I'm just saying. So, you know what Autumn did? She came up to me, and she hugged me, and she said, thank you, Daddy, with tears in her eyes. Thank you for teaching me. That's precious.
Amen.
Amen.
Just saying. That ain't me doing it. Jesus Christ died on the cross for Dale Morey, knowing one day I was going to get saved and that He was going to invade my heart, take over, and here I stand today. Not as a perfect person. I stand before you imperfect, but I have a perfect God.
Amen.
That has the power to change this. Say what you want. That's fine. Everybody talks behind people's back once in a while. I understand that. I'm just telling you right now, He can do it for me. He can do it for David Berkowitz and all them crazy fools. He can do it for anybody sitting in this church house.
Amen.
How bad do you want it? How bad do you want it? Verse 5. Behold, I was shapen in iniquity, and sin did my mother conceive me. Sin nature. That's just how it is. We're all born with the sin nature. We're all born that way. You know why? Because it says that your mother conceived you in sin. When you were born, guess what you had when you were born? Immediately. Matter of fact, while you're still in your mother's womb, guess what you have? Your sin nature.
Yeah.
It's right there, man. It's ready to rock and roll.
That's it.
I'll just say something. You guys have heard it a million times. You can quote it back to me better than I can quote it. But let me ask you something this. Do you have to teach your kid how to do right or wrong? That right there blew my mind when I first realized, whoa, the Bible's true. Because you have to teach your kid how to do right. They already know how to do wrong.
Right.
Where's that come from? Evolution? From a monkey? Comes from the curse, man. The fall of man.
Yeah.
This thing here is real. You don't have to believe that. The more you get into it, the more you realize, like Pastor says, this is the instruction manual for the one who created us. I'm just telling you right now, he knew me inside and out when he wrote these. And not only me, but every single person sitting in here, he knows.
That's right.
Verse 6. Behold, thou desirest. You see, we're seeing here that God has a desire. You know God has desires? He has a desire. It tells you right here. Behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts, and in the hidden part thou shalt make me to know wisdom. The desire of God is for us to have the truth in our inward parts. What is the truth? John 17:7 says, sanctify them through thy truth. Thy word is truth. God wants his word to be embedded within us into the deepest parts that has been shut off to all. Why does God want to reach so deep into us? Psalm 119 says, 119:9 says, whither all shall a young man cleanse his way? By taking heed thereunto according to thy word. Verse 6 says, behold, thou desirest truth in the inward parts. I'm just telling you now, God wants his word to get into those secret places that we read in Ecclesiastes.
Uh-huh.
He wants to get into those places that you have never opened up to a human being. And he wants that word of God to get in there. And he wants to get in that inward part. You know why? Because then he can work on something. I'll tell you now, when the word of God gets into those inward parts, oh, it's life-changing. It's life-changing. And you know what the truth is? It says God desires that the truth to be in the inward parts. Well, what is the truth? The truth is the word of God. Why else does he want the truth in the inward parts? John 8:32 says, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. Oh, that free. Hey, how about that peace these people say they want, Pastor? You really want freedom? I tell you right now, I got peace. For the first time in my life, almost 4 years ago, I tasted what peace was like for the first time in my life. And I tell you what, I never want to get rid of it. Hey, the best pillow to sleep on is a clear conscience. Thank you, Lord, for giving me a clear conscience. Thank you, Lord, for that clear conscience. Thank you for the freedom. Thank you for the peace. Even in hard times, we can still smile, laugh. But I mean, we have a good time, even in bad times. Because that's the peace of God that passes all understanding. People don't understand that. They know me and Amy were going through hard times and this and that. They still see us have a joyous life. And they go, what in the world? That's the peace of God that passes all understanding. He wants to give that to you. How many want it? He shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free. One of God's desires is for his word to reach in the inward parts, the hidden parts. And he will give you wisdom on how to deal with those things. Do you understand those things that are so deep and so embedded in you? The only thing that's ever going to reach them and do anything is the word of God. It says that it can slice and dice and, I mean, all, Hebrews 4:12. Sharper than any two-edged sword. Dividing. I mean, it can cut through it all. That's what, you know what? You know what Psalm 51 says? That's one of God's desires, is for that to get in there and do that to you. That's something? What a loving God. What a loving God that he wants his truth to get so deep inside of you that he can cut that stuff up, get his truth in there, and set you free. That's what it says. You understand? David understood that already. He knew what it was going to take. Way back in Psalm 51, David understood what it was going to take. And you know what? He wants to give that to every person. Mm-hmm. Imagine being free. Pastor said, Dale, I remember, two, 3 years ago, you remember stood up there because you said a profound statement. He goes, you stood up there and you said, I'm finally free. I still have that freedom. I still am finally free. But that, you know, it's not just for me. He wants to give it. There's not a soul in here. He doesn't want that freedom too. And I'm just telling you now, if you could just sit there. I told my wife, I said, Amy, here's the thing. The things that you know you shouldn't be doing or you get yourself into. I said, just go ahead and look God straight in the face and tell him, Lord, I know I shouldn't be doing this and I need your help to get out of it. I'm not running from no more. I'm going to face it head on. I said, you want to be free? That's freedom. Pastor, I didn't want yesterday to end. I had such a good time with the Lord. I said, please don't let this end.
Amen.
It ended. I'm here today and I'm happy I'm here today. You know what it's like to get close to God. You know, Pastor, you never want to get rid of it, do you? When you're so close to God and you guys are just right there, you're getting stuff straight and he's hammering stuff out. He's giving you that peace and you're going, man, why didn't I see this? Oh, I understand it now. I mean, why would I ever want to let go of that? Here I am today. Because he has to put me back out here. All right, those things you learn, let's go ahead and put them to use.
Amen.
Let's see how well we're doing. Yeah. Woo. Hey, soldiers don't get trained to sit around. Right, Sam?
That's
you
right.
Know. One day, a calling is going to come for Sam. He's going to go out there, and his training is going to be put into. I'm just telling you.
Yeah.
That's what happens to us as Christians.
That's right.
Therefore, endure hardness as a good soldier. Right now, I'm in basic training.
That's good.
I'm in basic training right now.
Yeah.
And when God's ready, send me out there. I'm not ready. Before I used to say that, why ain't God doing this? Why ain't he sending me here and doing this and that? I'm not ready. I realized that yesterday when the Lord got that right. I'm not ready. Don't send me out there. You're right. Pastor had all the wisdom saying I'd rather have Dale mess up here and then go out there and be. I'm not ready. Don't pray for me to go out yet. Please. Let me get some more training under my belt, man.
I'm not kidding you.
I'm not ready to be out there yet. Thank God. Let him work on me here. Let me do it here. Not that I ever want to mess up in front of you guys, but what good training. Well, I mean, we get the Bible here.
Amen.
You know, we get it here, man. I mean,
that's right.
The Lord's working on me right here in Belfast. He tears me out the frame of my house just as well. I don't need to be out there getting tore out the frame with all these fake people trying to get some help with all these. I'm not even gonna go. I'm not gonna go there. Anyway, he wants that. He wants to set us free, and that truth that gets into inward parts. That's what's gonna make us free. 7. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Imagine being clean, and I'm not talking about body-wise. We all bodily know how to get clean. But how do you get soul clean? Now he's asking him to dip in something. If he's asking him to dip in him in something, what do you think you need to be dipped in to be clean? I think we need a little blood dipping.
Yeah,
amen. I think a little Holy Ghost conviction going on. I mean, some revival starting on in our hearts. I mean, that's how we're going to get clean. So that must mean if he's asking to be clean, he knows he's dirty.
Yeah.
That's right.
Hey, I'm just saying. You know, this is where it's at. This is where it lies with God. This is what he wants people to know and understand. You go out there and ask, have you done wrong? It's not the point of doing wrong. The point is, what are you doing against God? What laws are you breaking of his? He knows you're wrong. He already knows that. But do you know that in your heart? Do you know what separates you from him? People don't know that. I got to get to it because, man, that's a good point in here he gave me. But I'm just saying. Verse 8. Make me to hear the joy and the gladness. The bones which thou hast broken may rejoice. Ain't that something? Some bones were broken in them. The bones thou hast broken, maybe God will have to bring a physical handicap for you to hear what he needs you to hear.
Come on.
Hey, a few weeks ago I told my wife, I said, you know what this is? This whole back problem, that's my thorn in the flesh. God can keep me right where he needs me. Keeps me right where he needs me, so why? So I can hear him. So I can learn. Hey, I'm just telling you now. Pastor said, you know, he used to tell me, it was kind of a scary thought at the time. He said, don't think God wouldn't cripple you so you'd listen to him. You know, I'm just telling you now. He may not kill you and put you in hell, but he might cripple you so you hear him.
Yeah. That's good.
Just saying, man. You know why? For your good. He's already good. He's already up in eternity. He's God. He doesn't need it. He's doing it for you.
Try.
Doing it for your good. He's not doing it for anybody's good in here but their self. My good, what God does for me is not good for my wife. I mean, the way he makes me and all that. But it can't change her. God's got to change her. God's got to get in there and show her and talk to her heart. You know what I tell her? I can't be the Holy Ghost. I can't convince you. That's not my job, to go out there and convict my wife of what she does. I may be able to lead her and show her and tell her, hey, maybe, you know, try this differently. But I'm not the Holy Ghost. I can't get into her heart and make her see it the way God needs her to see it. I just can't do that.
Yeah.
And I'm not there to do that. God didn't put me there to do that.
Good.
When Jesus cleaned you, like he said in verse 7, you will rejoice. Purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. Even with broken bones, in verse 8, he says that I may rejoice. I'm just telling you now, I may have physical ailments, but because I'm clean, because I've been dipped in the blood of Jesus Christ, because I've been saved, I can rejoice. I can be happy for what he's doing in my life, even at the crippled state that I think that I'm in. I don't sit around and just do nothing. I'll tell you that much right now. God has given me something in my heart that just ain't going to slow me down. I get out there and try to work like a man. I do. I do the best that I can with all that I can. And that's something that I never had in my life. I never had a drive to work. I was a lazy, no good thief. Straight up. God put a desire in my heart for me to get out there and work like a man. Just because I have a few physical disabilities doesn't mean I don't get out. And I mean, I lift people up. I shower them, I clean them, I bathe them. I do all that stuff. You don't think that takes back work? Try it once in a while. I'm not sitting behind a desk typing at a typewriter or something. That's just what the Lord has done. And you know what? I rejoice in the work. I'm out there trying to do what I can do for my family. A clean and clear conscience brings peace that passes all understanding. Ain't that something? I already had that in there. I didn't even know. Verse 9. Hide thy face from my sins and blot out my iniquities. Verse 10, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. God and only God can create a clean heart. It didn't say clean up the heart we have, but create one. He's asking God, create a clean heart in me, O God. He didn't say clean the one up I have already. He says create in me a clean one. But how would you get a new heart? 2 Corinthians 5:17, thou therefore, if any man be in Christ Jesus. Old things have passed away, behold, all things have become new. God has given me a new heart, and I'm going to show you that. That's why God had to create a clean heart in me. God had to create one which would have to be a new one. Ezekiel 36:26 says, God shows how God does this. A new heart, that's the one God creates. Also will I give you a new spirit, will I put in you. And I will take away the stony heart of your flesh, and I will give you a heart of flesh. That's the effects of a new heart. God will take my stony, hard heart, anything that I was so hard and stiff-necked against God or against anything of righteousness or holiness, and then God came in there, Clint created that new heart. And now guess what? I think differently. I act differently. I still have dirty things in my heart. But it's a new heart. It has a new direction in it now. It has a new hope in it now. I know it's desperately wicked above all things, but I tell you what, who knows the heart? It says, I, the Lord, know the heart and try the reins. Well, if he knows it so good, then he can create a new one in me. If he has that power to know it, why does he have the power to clean it? He does. It may not be perfect, but he's got the power to do it. I didn't think on God. I didn't live for God. I wanted nothing to do with it. The Bible meant nothing to me. Matter of fact, kids meant nothing to me. Wives never meant anything to me. So where do you think I still have the same heart, don't I? But it got created into a new one.
Amen.
He took that stony one and made it into a fleshy one.
Amen.
Yeah. Marvelous.
Oh, he's so good, brother. Just good, man. What are the effects of it? Ezekiel 36:27 says, I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes. And you shall walk, shall keep my judgments and do them.
Yeah.
That's the effect of a new heart. You'll want to do the things of God. You'll have a different desire to do the things God wants you to. He calls us out to be separate. He calls us out to be holy. He calls us out there to go out there and be salt to this earth. And you know what? That becomes a desire of your heart. Why? Because it's a new one. Old things have passed away. Behold, all things are become new.
Amen. Mm-hmm.
Create me a what? A clean heart. Create me. Get that old one out of there and create me a clean heart, a good heart. And it says, and renew a right spirit within me. He said, I just read Ezekiel to you. Now I'm going to go in John 14, 15 through 17. He says, if you love me, you'll keep my commandments, and I will pray the Father, and he shall give you another comforter, that he may abide with you forever, even the Spirit of truth, whom the world cannot receive, because it seeth him not, neither knoweth him. But ye know him, for he dwelleth with you, and shall be in you.
Amen.
Well, if that's the case, then I gotta have. He's gotta create a new heart. Mm-hmm. He's not gonna live with the filth. Mm-hmm. That old stuff is. It's gonna start going out. Bink, bink. He's gonna start getting that stuff out of there. He's not gonna sit in there with that. He's gonna start hammering that thing out. A stony heart. Please, when I stand up, I only know my testimony. I only know what I have been through. And I'm just telling you, I had a stony heart. It was cold. What's stone? It's cold. It's just something that has no life to it whatsoever. I mean, a heart that is stone is the same way. It's hard. Isn't a stone hard? Isn't it cold? There's no life in it?
Come on. Mm-hmm.
That was my heart. I promise you that was my heart. And God has given me a fleshly heart. A heart where I can love children. Love perfect strangers that I didn't grow up with or never knew. Go out there and work with people that out in the past I could never stand. I mean, just the things that teach me how to be a man. I long when God kicks my rear end for when I mess up with my wife. Because I want to learn how to be a man. A man to my children. A love for God that I never had. Longer than I serve him, the sweeter he grows. That's been the song of my heart for probably the last 3 days.
Yeah.
Take that heart and turn it into something, Lord. Please. I'm going to get down to verse 16. For thou desirest not sacrifice. We see God desires something. Now he desires something. There's something else he desires. And that's not a sacrifice. Else I would give it. Thou delightest not in burnt offerings. David understood that God no longer desired a sacrifice according to the law. God now desires truth in the inward parts. We know that the truth is God's word, and we know that from John 1:14 that Jesus is the word. So no longer God wants a sacrifice from the law, but salvation from Jesus Christ who dwells in the inward parts. John 8:36 says, if we have the Son, then we are free. And if the Son therefore shall make you free, you shall be free indeed.
Amen.
You shall be free indeed. So no longer does he desire us to go out there and kill bulls and ox and all that. That's not the way to get right anymore. Jesus has taken the place of the sacrifice according to the law. But the sacrifice God does desire is of a broken spirit. A broken spirit is one whose understanding has been opened to where they stand before God. The spirit here is a small s, and it's talking about our own personal spirit.
That's right.
A broken spirit is one who is ready to accept the truth of God, to accept the Holy Ghost conviction, to repent from where they are to what God wants. That's a broken spirit. A broken spirit understands where they stand before a holy God. They understand, oh, I'm in the wrong place. I'm so far from God, it's disgusting. There's a great gap between you and God as an unsaved person. That's a broken spirit. Gets to that point, they understand where they stand before God. God also desires a broken and contrite heart. A broken heart is one who that understands what they have done. But you see here, it doesn't just say broken. It says broken and contrite. A broken heart is not good enough.
That's right.
How many people sit in pews when there's preachers up here and they get a little broken heart and go home and they're the same every time? You see, the desire is just a broken heart. How about a contrite heart with that?
Yes.
Huh? Yes. Let me just finish preaching this here because God gave me... I'm just telling you, man, he's a good God when he gives you stuff like this. God desires a broken and contrite heart. A broken heart is one who understands what they've done, but being broken is not enough. He desires it to be contrite as well. Contrite means to be broke, a bruise, to rub, to war, literally worn or bruised, brokenhearted for sin, deeply affected with grief and sorry for having offended God, humble and penitent and as a contrite sinner. It takes more than just having a broken heart to come to God. God see broken hearts all the time. And you know what? It doesn't lead to salvation. It takes a broken, contrary heart. And not only that, your spirit and your will need to be broken.
Come on.
That's when salvation comes. This verse is this verse and this verse alone in Psalm 51, verse 7, it smashes the Romans road and easy believism to pieces. Because God doesn't just require a prayer or some Romans road for salvation. It requires a broken spirit, a broken contrite heart for salvation. No one will you stand before a holy God.
Come on.
A broken heart is not enough, people. I had plenty of broken hearts sitting in these pews with these preachers preaching at me. But it took a broken spirit, a broken and contrite heart for me to come to salvation. For me to be broken of everything that I am.
Oh.
Everything that I am. I had to see that. God wants someone who is under a Holy Ghost conviction from understanding what they are and where they stand with God and why they're in that condition to be able to repent and come to Jesus for salvation. In the days of old, people were able to be there until Jesus brought conversion and not to some man with a prayer. Thank God we have a pastor and some friends who are men of God who understand this and not force anyone into anything before God is done with them and they get saved. You see, it takes God to get somebody saved, not man.
Yes.
God forbid if I ever stood in the way of somebody's salvation because I wanted to shove a prayer down their throat. I want to see somebody wiggling in the pews with a broken spirit and a broken and contrite heart coming to Jesus Christ under Holy Ghost conviction. I'm just telling you now, we have men who are going to, they see somebody squirming in their seat and they go jump on them, go ahead and try to shove some prayer down their throat and say, you're saved, don't worry about anything else. And they have nothing to do with them people ever again. Shame on them. Thank God we have a pastor that doesn't do that. The Bible says in 2 Peter 3:9, the Lord, not man or his ways. It says the Lord is not slack concerning his promise. What promise? To bring people unto Jesus. To bring people unto Jesus for salvation. As some men count slackness. Why do you think they use the Romans road in the prayer? Because they have slackness. They don't believe God's promise. They don't believe he'll save them when he's ready and not when they're ready. They're counting it slack. They're not trusting God for salvation. They're trusting their preaching. And they're trusting the Romans road in prayer. They're not trusting God for it, Pastor.
Right.
That's the slackness that he's talking about. As some men count slackness, they have to rush to get people to get saved because they don't trust God to save people on his time.
Uh-huh.
He's not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. So if God is not willing that any should perish, and he knows what it's going to take for people to get saved, then why does man get in the way and try to play God and send people to hell? God wants a person to have a broken spirit, which means their will as well, and a broken and contrite heart before one gets saved. This, now read the last part. This God will not despise or reject. What's it say in verse 17? The sacrifices of God are a broken spirit and a broken and contrary heart. Oh God, thou will not despise. He's not going to reject your broken spirit or your broken and contrary heart. He longs for that to happen to you.
Amen.
He's not going to despise it or reject it. But man wants to jump on that, Pastor. They won't leave him there. God knows what it's going to take for a person to get saved. He knows what point it's going to... He knows how long it's going to... He also knows those who are rejecting him. But people need to be left there and let the Holy Ghost convict them. They just be left alone and let God deal with them. Unless the man of God is directed by God to go over there and deal with that person.
Come on.
This will not... God will not despise. And if he won't, then man needs to take his place and let God do what needs to be done. And I'm done, Pastor.